Hi, welcome back to Queer Talk. I'm Matthew Stafford, and today we are in the studio with folks from Campus Pride. We have Shane Windmeyer here with us, also Hannah Wright and Zach Walls. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, great to be here.
Thanks.
All right, so first of all, Shane, tell us a little bit about Campus Pride, what you've been doing, a little bit about yourself also.
Yeah, so, you know, Campus Pride is a national organization that works with college students across the country, and we've been here at Vanderbilt University. This is actually our third year here and our sixth year for our Camp Pride, which is a national leadership program for LGBT, lesbian, gay, bi, trans, queer, ally, and questioning college student leaders who want to come together and learn how to create change for kind of positive, inclusive LGBT policies, programs, practices on their campus. So this is actually our fifth day. So we have another day tomorrow and our graduation's tonight. It's quite fabulous. And, you know, Hannah's here as one of our campers who's been through the entire week of Camp Pride, you know, and has been working on her action plan for her campus to take back and create some actions. And then, you know, Zach has been an advocate, an amazing young person, really leading the way nationally on several issues. You know, his new book, My Two Moms, was a bestseller and continues to sell well, and just an amazing individual. And we're honoring him tonight with our Voice in Action National Leadership Award, which recognizes young people who are leaders doing amazing work. So we're very proud to have him in our ceremony tonight. You know, and as a national leader in the movement, you know, I try my best to be an advocate for young adults and give them voice and action, and that's what Campus Pride is about.
Great. And Shane, what brought you into this kind of activism?
You know, that's a great question, and, you know, it's one that there was no one path. I was in college in the 90s, and, you know, it was very different back then. There were some campuses who had very limited services, but, you know, my campus didn't really have much for gay, lesbian students, and really didn't even know what trans, I mean, they weren't even there yet. And so, you know, for gay students, our campus in Kansas, where I grew up, it was a challenge. And I came out to my fraternity brothers and came out to my student government leaders and was active my junior year as an out gay person and one of a handful. Got involved with our gay lesbian group on campus. And, you know, I felt like there needed to be more for students across the country. And so I carried that with me on into grad school. I wrote my first book. It was called Out on Fraternity Row, which is about gay men, bi men, who were closeted or who came out to their fraternity brothers. And that just kind of continued. I've written six books since then. Campus Pride was founded in 2001 as a way to continue creating resources for, you know, young college students like myself who are trying to create change in, you know, areas like Kansas or Iowa or, you know, Texas, and didn't have a lot of support. So, you know, it's part of my passion, what I believe in, and Campus Pride has been kind of my life pursuit, something that I care a lot about, you know, and it's my activism. It's what I believe in.
And have you felt like you've seen a real shift in the years that you've been doing this kind of work and in the way that people are accepted at colleges or the way that they feel like they can be out and open?
Sure. I think there's been a shift. I worry that colleges feel like they've done enough. They have a GSA, a Gay Straight Alliance, where they have a club on campus, and maybe they have sexual orientation in their non-discrimination statement, and they kind of plateau. Only 13% of colleges and universities in this country have sexual orientation as part of their non-discrimination statement or their EEO policy, and only 7% roughly have trans protections in their non-discrimination statements. So, yes, we've seen some progress since the 90s, but we still have a long, long way to go. Only about 7% of colleges actually have institutional support, meaning a half-time or a full-time person or an LGBT center that works with these students as well, or that helps LGBT visibility on their campus. So I want to say, yeah, we've seen a lot of progress, but I also want to be real and say we have 90% of colleges out there that aren't doing anything still, and it's 2012.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of those, that 90% that you mentioned, what do you say to people? I mean, I'm sure you get contacted probably by people who say, you know, this is my situation. I'm here. It feels there are several of us who are out maybe, but we don't really have a presence on campus. It's isolating. What kinds of things can we do? What kinds of things do you advise to people?
Well, they need to know where they're at. So, for instance, in order to improve, the campus needs to know where they are failing and where they're succeeding. And Campus Pride has an index called the Campus Pride Index, and it's free. It's an online dynamic database that has an assessment hooked to it. If you go to campusprideindex.org, you can actually take it. And your campus takes the assessment, and for the first time ever, you're benchmarked with these questions, and you're able to identify areas you're doing really, really well at, and then areas you need to improve when it comes to policies, programs, and practices. So when you do that, you also can see your peer institutions. And trust me, if a college sees their peer who they compete with in sports doing better than them on LGBT issues, it matters. Or their peer when it comes to academics and they're trying to attract more biology students to their campus, but another campus that is more LGBT inclusive is getting more biology students. I mean, queer people, gay people cross all lines. And more straight allies want to go to LGBT progressive campuses because maybe they have two dads or two moms, or maybe they have family members who are LGBT. So colleges want to be called LGBT friendly, and they want to know how to do that. And so our index is a good way to really assess for free how to become more LGBT inclusive. So I think that's the challenge, and to not plateau as many campuses have with just having a policy or just having a club. There's so much more that needs to be done.
And also going back to coming out on Fraternity Row, have you seen specifically any changes in fraternity and sorority acceptance?
You know, fraternities are and sororities are interesting in that the leadership of these organizations are largely people who are inclusive or who are gay themselves. So like your advisors and the people who are working on your campus are pretty inclusive. It's the national folks who maybe come from a different generation that really have the problem from a policy standpoint or are really the people keeping progress from happening. So most of the national fraternities and sororities that have inclusive policies are because students who are part of those organizations have brought it forward nationally to change. And so there has been progress. There's maybe two dozen, roughly, national men's organization and women's organizations that have sexual orientation in their non-discrimination policy. From a trans issue, they're not even there yet. I mean, we have to look to the Girl Scouts for trans inclusion because the Girl Scouts are much more progressive as a same-sex or a gender, same-gender organization.
Great. Well, let's go into talking to one of the campers from this week. Hannah, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having us.
So tell us a little bit about yourself and why you wanted to come to camp.
Yeah, my name is Hannah Wright. I'm a junior at the University of Iowa in Iowa City. And I'll say that it's nothing that I had planned on coming to or anything that I had sought out. I was a resident assistant this past year in the residence halls, and I did a program called That's So Gay that was geared towards how do I support my friends who identify as LGBT? How do allies and straight allies support, especially on a campus where a lot of people come from backgrounds that are people like them? And I had a lot of my friends, so I think, kind of struggled with, well, how do I show Hannah that I'm there for her, and how do I, you know, accept her and show her that I accept her without overbearing her? And it was also an opportunity to have people come to the program if they were kind of nervous or they weren't out yet or were kind of questioning their identity. They could go and not feel like they were outed, which I think is an important thing to do on a college campus. So I did the program and it went really, really well. And one of my advisors was talking to somebody else on campus and he said, she really needs to come to Campus Pride. She needs to experience this. He had gone to the campus last year on the advisor track and had a phenomenal experience and saw the campers' reactions to camp and said, I really think you should come. And so we pulled some strings and our student leadership got some money together and sent two of us to camp. And so here I am, and I can say that it's definitely, I knew it was going to be kind of life-changing. I knew that it was going to be something that I really took a lot away from, but it truly has been kind of a phenomenal and unexplainable experience to be surrounded by people who you're not surrounded by day to day, people who share the same aspirations and goals and activist views that you share, and you can identify with them with the same struggles. And I think that that's something that you can take so much away from that.
And so what kinds of workshops have you been involved in this week?
So the main workshop, I think, is we are developing action plans, and that's something that's been going on through camp, and they've kind of eased us into it. But they said, you know, think about your campus and what do you want to see on your campus? What do you want to see in your community? What's something that you're passionate about that can make a more inclusive environment or a policy that you might want to see changed? And so I personally have been working on my action plan, which is to start a GLSEN chapter, which is the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of acronyms in the LGBTQ
right,
community.
Right, that's very true.
So I've been working on that because I think that for me, it's really important to start things on the college level. However, these students are getting ready to graduate high school and they're not sure where to go. And how can we start with high school students and create that environment there? Because I think it's really important. We were talking about earlier in some of the other workshops that the coming out age is getting earlier and earlier and earlier for students. I believe the range is somewhere between 13 to 16 now, whereas it used to be college freshmen, college sophomores. So my personal action plan is to kind of start within the community and get the university and student involvement within the community and kind of create that collaboration. But I know a lot of people are working on policy changes, including non-gender specific restrooms on campus and things like that. And so we've been kind of working towards that. And throughout camp, we have speakers who are talking about their own experience with action and change and things like that. And I think that that's been one of the most a lot of takeaway that I'm getting from that is seeing people who, especially in the 70s and 80s, where there wasn't a lot of this activism, at least not publicly, like they're starting to be now, and they were really the forefront of all of this. And so it's really exciting to get to ask people, how did you do that, and how did you start that change, and what happens when you come into opposition? Because that's something where, you know, you're taught to dream, and you can do anything that you want to do, but nobody tells you, well, what if that dream get stopped all of a sudden? How do you combat that? And I think that that's something I've really taken away is the different speakers that have been here to kind of help push us to say, you know what, if you come into that, you find a way around it. You make another action plan, and that action plan is to combat that. And so it's all about creating many action plans along the way and really learning how to use that action plan to better your activism and to support others' interests as well.
And have you felt like, as being a participant, that you've been able to really network with other college students who are experiencing the same thing that you can keep in touch with and keep tabs with?
Definitely. I wasn't sure what was going to happen when I came to camp, and I thought, what if I don't get along with anybody? Or what if, you know, I don't share the same, like, goals and what happens? And we're all in the same place, and we're all in the same generation. We're all college students, and so we have that foundation there. And I have found such a connection with a lot of the campers. And I think a great example of that was earlier we were working on our action plans kind of based on category. And I was talking to a fellow camper who was trying to figure out how to create a program that gives awareness to students about the LGBT community, especially with sports teams and athletics and things like that. And how do you get this awareness out there to students these days? And I started talking to her, and I told her a little about the program that I talked about earlier that I did in the residence halls, and her eyes just kind of lit up, and we made that connection, that network there. And I gave her the materials that she was kind of had been, she wasn't sure where to start, and I gave her that. And so we exchanged emails and shared a couple of other ideas, along with the fact that I got to meet one of the faculty here. Ma Purdy is, she works at Iowa State University, and she's heavily involved with GLSEN in the Omaha chapter. And so we've kind of networked, and we started a collaboration to decide to work together to start this chapter in Iowa. And now I have the great pleasure of meeting Zach Walls, who I'm really excited to hopefully network with to kind of get his views on the Iowa school districts and things like that, and how I can work with my action plan and starting that GLSEN chapter. So it's if I talked about all of the networks I've made, we'd be here for hours, but just, it's so easy to just talk to people because we all have the same view, and that's been a phenomenal experience.
Great. All right. Well, let's go to Zach. Zach, welcome to the program.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
All right. So tell us a little bit about, your experience. Obviously you've written a book, you've been a Eagle Scout with mm-hmm. the Boy Scouts, and that's been, of course, the Boy Scouts has been kind of a contentious issue for a while now mm-hmm. with gay, lesbian families. So tell us a little bit about your background.
Mm-hmm. So I was raised by a lesbian couple in the Midwest. I was born in Wisconsin, but have spent most of my life living in Iowa City, Iowa. And same-sex marriage has been legal in our state since 2009, and in early 2011, there was a proposed constitutional amendment to reverse the Supreme Court decision that had legalized same-sex marriage, and there was a public forum about this constitutional amendment where I spoke, and my testimony was then uploaded to YouTube, and it proceeded to go viral. And that kind of launched a platform for me as a straight son of a gay couple to talk about why marriage equality is important, not just for the gay community and for people who identify as LGBT, but for their family members, for their children, parents, and really kind of across the board. And most recently, I've been involved with petitioning the Boy Scouts of America to end their policy of discrimination and exclusion of LGBT people. In April of this year, a lesbian dead mother from Ohio named Jennifer Terrell was forced to resign from her son's Cub Scout pack because of her sexual orientation. And after that happened, she launched a petition on change.org, change.org/scouts, where she then gathered over 300,000 signatures in support for reinstating her and for ending this policy. I delivered that petition to the Boy Scout of America's national meeting in Orlando, Florida, at the appropriately named Gaylord Palm Spring Hotel and Resort, an irony that was lost on absolutely nobody. And coming out of that petition delivery, I started my own organization called Scouts for Equality, comprised of other Boy Scouts, Eagle Scouts. We have over 500 Eagles on board who are encouraging the BSA to end this policy. Earlier this week, the BSA announced that it had just concluded a 2-year review of this policy and that it would be keeping it in place. However, we feel that it would be much more appropriate to actually go to the troops and to the councils that comprise the entire organization and really get their perspective and their input. That's exactly what our group is doing going forward. And it really is, in a very important way, very similar to the activism that we were just hearing about from Hannah, because this is very quantifiable stuff. This is something that Campus Pride has made a big deal about, you know, making sure that it's actionable, that you have metrics, that you can really measure your progress, and when you hit a roadblock, that you can reassess where you're going and figure out how to get around whatever's in your way. And I think that this is a theme that we are starting to see more and more in this movement, really sitting down and taking a very methodical, very deliberative approach and a very conscious decision-making process as we move forward. And I think that that's really one of the most important developments that I've been able to be a part of and that we've seen in this movement in quite a while.
And I'm betting your parents are very proud of you.
That's right. That's right. The last year for my birthday, they gave me a card and said, you know, we loved you before you were a media darling, Zach. And it's like, yeah. And that's really important. You got to remember who you are and where you came from. And my mom's done a great job of doing that.
A media great. Darling. Wow.
Well, that's what they said. I love
right.
it.
Well, so you're going to be your keynoting
tonight, that's
the
right.
event tonight, and you're also being honored for your leadership, right? Mm-hmm. Great.
It's a big honor, and you know, it's been one of the most incredible parts of this entire experience, because I really am the same age as the people in the audience and the people in this room, and it's been a very powerful lesson in the capacity that we all have as people to affect incredible amounts of change. And sometimes it's just a matter of being in the right place at the right time. Sometimes it's a matter of really spending a lifetime putting yourself into that position. And sometimes it really is the result of being able, you know, to network with your peers and build organizations and really do the kind of day-to-day grind and the work that it takes to really get this stuff done.
And if people are interested in getting more involved on the Scout issue, mm-hmm. do you have any suggestions?
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, there's a group that I started called Scouts for Equality. Any current or former Scouts can check that out online at scoutsforequality.org. And any parents listening who have had second thoughts about enrolling their own sons in the organization because of this policy, we'd love to hear from you as well. Again, that URL is Scouts for Equality. It's the word for, not the number for. Scoutsforequality.org.
Great. Let's take a brief musical break, and then we will be back. Welcome back to Queer Talk. I'm Matthew Stafford, and we're here in the studio today talking about Campus Pride. We're here with Shane Windemeyer, Hannah Wright, and Zach Walls. Shane, let's go back to talking about some of the other things, like you've got an athlete report coming out, right, with Campus Pride.
Yeah, starting this October, Campus Pride has a number of athletic initiatives that are happening, and probably about a year and a half ago, Campus Pride decided that it was important to do specific outreach to athletic audiences on college campus communities. And it's an area that, you know, I play softball, but, you know, I wasn't very involved in sports in college. And I just tweeted something about Hawkeyes or something and Cornhuskers. And so I'm not big into sports, but at the same time, you know, I think it's important to do outreach to athletics, especially since, like fraternities and sororities, they tend to be very powerful leaders on our campus as far as group norms and expectations, and they can be the ones to stand up against bullying. And so Campus Pride is working with the Stand Up Foundation, which is Ben Cohen, international world-class rugby player. We've been working with the Stand Up Foundation to do some phenomenal work, and here at camp we're creating stand-up teams. And so, what was it, in May, we released the top 10 LGBT-friendly athletic programs as kind of a first step. And this October, we have the first ever national report that looks at LGBT and T transgender experiences in college athletics. It's about 500 student experiences of current athletes in all divisions of the NCAA. And it'll be actually an amazing report that will give us the data to start doing some meaningful work. And we're also working on an index, a benchmarking tool for athletic programs to assess their LGBT friendliness. So it's quite exciting. And it's a new area within the last year that we've been focusing on.
Great. And let's also talk about some of the speakers that have been at camp either this year or in years past.
Yeah. Hannah, what were some of your favorites from camp this year, just from the last few days?
I'd say that yesterday was one of my favorite days. I think that we had two great speakers, and y'all tell me with their last names, but Kara from...
Lyric.
From,
yeah, Kara Lyric. NBC Fashion Star.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, she was the winner of NBC Fashion Star.
I was excited to see her just to kind of hear about her experience, and as she started talking, authenticity and passion is definitely contagious, and she was somebody who just had so much passion about everything that she's done, whether it be her fourth grade teaching experience to being on Fashion Star and doing what she's absolutely loving to do and giving back to the LGBTQ community. And so it's fabulous just to hear somebody speak about something that they're so passionate about and kind of getting you excited about your own passions, as well as Mara last night.
Yeah, Mara Kiesling from the National Center for Trans mm-hmm. Equality was here.
And she is hilarious. I don't think I've laughed so much at a quote-unquote speaker. She calls herself, she talks, she doesn't speak. And it's so true. She just has a conversation with the audience and the entire room was just laughing, and again, that contagious authenticity that she has, and I think that that's true for all speakers that we've had, which just goes to show that we all have different passions for activism within the LGBTQ community, but if you're passionate about something, somebody's going to back you up, and if you care enough about something, then you're going to inspire other people to do something and to change something, whether that's the same thing that you're changing or something else. As long as we're working towards the same common goal, it's really, really amazing to see.
Yeah, you know, we had Kit Yan here, who's a trans Asian spoken word artist. Kit just left this morning, and we had Justin Utley. Justin's an ex-Mormon who went through reparative therapy through his church, and you know, he was a Christian singer-songwriter. And out of that reparative therapy, you know, he's no longer part of the Mormon faith, and he was amazing. He was here Wednesday night. So we had some great entertainers. We have Robin Oakes, talks about kind of bi invisibility and bisexual and pansexual students, and you know, some amazing speakers this last week who have all donated their time to be here. Really
nice. Are there any speakers or any kinds of things you would like you think you would like to incorporate in the future for Campus Pride events, maybe some things you haven't been able to do yet?
You know, I think the key with any movement is to represent the diversity of the movement and the diversity of the views and perspectives within the LGBT population. And I use LGBT realizing that those are white constructs, but, you know, ultimately the labels that people identify with across the gender spectrum, across the sexual identity spectrum, are really important. And so we try every year to bring in different voices and different perspectives. We actually brought in a local person. I don't know if you know Marissa Richmond. Mm-hmm. Marissa came into camp and talked about civil rights and talked about, you know, not only trans, but just broad civil rights across race, ethnicity, faith, religion, and so forth. So it is amazing.
And talking about those other, the diversity of issues and all, what do you think about youth issues? That was something you, I think, you were talking about being very passionate about overall, and how there are other things to incorporate.
Yeah, I don't know how, you know, Zach and Hannah feel, but, you know, I think in the movement we have such a large focus on really important issues like marriage. I mean, obviously Zach's been spending a lot of time on that impassioned speech, and those are important issues. I just don't want to lose sight of the fact, and I hear this more and more often, is, well, what do we have left to do after we achieve marriage equality? Well, there's a hell of a lot left to do. I mean, we have homeless kids, a lot of which are trans or, you know, other queer youth who don't have anywhere to go. And there are beds that, you know, need to be, you know, made for these young people to have shelter and, you know, or to family structures to get them into family. So, you know, I just don't want to hear that anymore because there's so much to do beyond marriage.
Yeah, something that is often overlooked by, I think, the national media. If you look at this country's youth homeless population, do you want to have any guess what the percentage is that's LGBT?
I have
40%.
No idea.
Yeah. It's 8 times higher than it should be, mm-hmm. if you want to look at just the broad demographics. And the reason that's the case is because you have parents throwing their kids out when they come out as LGBT. We often hear from Rick Santorum or Brian Brown types that, you know, homosexuality is dangerous, that it's unhealthy. But if you actually sit down and you make these comparisons as apples to apples instead of apples to oranges, and you look at kids who are gay, who are accepted by their parents, versus kids who are gay, who are rejected strongly by their parents. The ones who are rejected by their parents are 8 times more likely to wind up homeless. They're 4 times more likely to be HIV positive by the time they're 24. They're 4 times more likely to abuse hard drugs like methamphetamine and heroin. They're 4 times more likely to have to see, you know, psychologists and therapists for the rest of their life to deal with that level of trauma that they've had to endure. And they're 6 times more likely to commit suicide. So at the end of the day, when we hear these politicians stand up and say, oh, you know, it's dangerous to be gay, it's a problem if you're gay, they're the ones creating the problem by saying that it's a problem.
All right. Well, it's been a great program. Thanks so much to all 3 of you for coming on, Shane Windmeyer, Hannah Wright, Zach Walls. Really quickly, let's throw out websites.
Yeah, okay. So campuspride.org, so www.campuspride.org, and you can learn about our organization, learn about our camp, everything that we talked about on the show today.
All right, and Zach?
scoutsforequality.org, that's scoutsforequality.org.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. It's been a great day again on Queer Talk, and we look forward to coming back next week.